You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Hello and welcome into the Coast to Coast Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Craycraft. Dante Guarneri is once again not here, but I'm joined by two friends of the show. We got friend James and friend Noah, along with some crowd members, but you won't be hearing from them. Hopefully. How are you guys doing today?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Austin?
I'm great.
I'm swell.
Good. So we are in Greeley, Colorado. I can't call it anything but groggy, in some random basement recording this on a Saturday night, because what else would you do? We are going to get started with some Cleveland Cavaliers talk and then delve into some historic questions, because that's just always where our conversations seem to go. And with the Cleveland Cavaliers, you two are, I'd say, supporters. Is that correct?
I would say more than supporters.
Okay.
I'm a solid fan, so I root for them.
Like, what kind of fan would you say?
I would say I wouldn't go to their games, not because, because I don't live in Cleveland. But I watch every game, and I like LeBron, so, yeah.
James, is it true that when LeBron went to Miami, you were a Miami Heat fan?
Yeah, that's not the reason I became a Miami Heat fan, first of all. The Toronto Raptors, you know, let go of Chris Bosh, and the Miami Heat grabbed them, and I'm a big Chris Bosh supporter, and I decided to support him there, and I moved my talents down to South Beach.
Okay, you're lying. Noah, you have been a Cleveland fan throughout, with or without LeBron James.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and you might be without him again, but we'll get to that later. But the Cavs coming off a 5-game loss, they did get that game 4, which made you happy, I'd say.
Not too happy.
There's not too much to delve into in terms of their future. Paul George is still a possibility. I don't know how much so, after all these rumors going back and forth about whether he might come to Cleveland, whether Indiana likes Kevin Love, whether a third party might like Kevin Love to get Paul George to Cleveland, and whether he'd even sign a contract there, because, you know, it's Cleveland.
Okay, Joakim Noah.
But where do you guys see this team's future after the Warriors are still going to be in place for the next few years?
Well, I think that if they don't make a move this offseason, then they might as well just roll over and die.
Wow, that's harsh. Yeah. I think that's an interesting stance that I think the Warriors have put the NBA into, where they've never really been before, where almost everyone just feels like they can't compete, so they're just going to wait until they die. But that might not happen for 3 or 4 years, and that's a lot of championships.
Yeah, I think if they keep Kevin Love, they're basically declaring this is a throwaway year. Because, let's be honest, if they don't obtain Paul George or Jimmy Butler or talent that can guard better than Kevin Love, then it's basically a throwaway year. And with LeBron, there shouldn't be any throwaway years.
And it's hard to call this a throwaway year when you have the number one team in the East and probably going to the finals again.
More than likely, yeah.
But
unless Boston pulls off some moves, so that is a very difficult situation, because they already declared $130 million to players, so they don't have any flexibility there. It is just through trade. And Jimmy Butler's off the table with his move to Minnesota. And it's not looking likely. It looks like the Celtics might actually have the inside track, which is pretty interesting, I think. But he's still in that weird spot. So
this is basically what we wanted out of the trade deadline.
You just mean all this move?
There was all this talking about Jimmy Butler and Paul George going to the Celtics, and we're just now getting it.
Yeah, it is a little late, I think. I think Paul George, what would you guys say, he's more or less likely to be on Indiana come the first game of the season?
I don't know. It's tough to say.
I think he's gone.
Where to?
Anywhere. it doesn't make sense for Indiana to have him at all. Why don't you just trade him and get assets for the future? If Paul George declared he's going to go to the Lakers. So
the argument against that is that if Paul George makes an All-NBA team this season, he's eligible for an extension worth 5 years, $203 million or something. So it's tough to turn down that amount of money, and that's the one thing that I guess Pacer fans could still hope for. But even then, he could turn down all that money and still just go to L.A. So they probably do want to get something for him before too much happens and they're too far gone. Because each day you wait, his value kind of diminishes almost. But after free agency, I think we'll see this talk reheat up and stuff. Any other thoughts?
So with your Cleveland and Jimmy Butler's off the board, Paul George is most likely off the board. Who is the next? What can you do?
I mean, those two and Boogie were kind of the three guys that you could go out and get, but one of them's moved. Paul George doesn't sound like he's coming there, and Boogie, I don't think he really helps you too much against the Warriors. I mean, I think he would, but how much better is he than Kevin Love that he really makes that difference? Anthony Davis, I think the trade rumors for him are going to start heating up in like a year and a half or so.
I've heard a few recently.
Yeah, you have to give up the farm, though, to get him. So the Cavs aren't in that position. I don't know who. Pretty much every other top 15 player in the league is kind of locked down.
Kind of have to settle for something outside of that.
And what are you going to get better than Kevin Love?
Rudy Gay. you can make a trade. You can.
For who?
Carmelo is not in the top 15, but.
Do you think he helps out the Cavs more than Kevin Love would?
I think he does. I know Melo's not known for defense, but I'm a believer that he can be more mobile on the defensive end than Kevin Love. And the post-up game it's not working out so well against the Warriors because they have great post defenders and Draymond and Durant. So Melo, he's just a more versatile offensive scorer. I think he's better. When you have Kevin Love playing when LeBron's not on the floor, would you rather have Kevin Love playing by himself or Carmelo Anthony playing by himself?
Yeah, Melo can get his own shots.
Yeah.
Love sort of.
But does this solve the Warriors' problem at all?
Oh,
I think in
doesn't.
Theory, it might be better for their team just because, hey, here's our third scorer, which people thought Kevin Love might be, but I don't know how much that moves the needle, and even if the Cavs would even want to do that, giving up a younger player and stuff.
So do you try and get someone like Rudy Gay if he wants to take a small amount of money?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't know. You take any quality players you can get, but once again, he's not good enough to move the needle.
I think he moves it a little, but
As my good friend Tanner in the audience just brings up, what do you think about trading Tristan Thompson for maybe Hassan Whiteside?
Why do the Heat do that?
I don't know. I'm just thinking, if you could get a player, like, if you were to trade Tristan Thompson, is there anyone that you could get for him?
In value?
Yeah.
Well, the thing about Thompson, unless you're going to get someone that's, like, really offensively talented, which I don't know who's available. Thompson's good because he can move his feet well and like kind of corral the Warriors on screens with Curry and Durant. I mean, it's an interesting idea, but I think Thompson is more valuable to the Cavs than he is to like any other team in the league almost, because the Cavs can pay all the money because they're already doing it because Dan Gilbert said, hey, LeBron, if you come here, I'll pay whatever.
Yeah, Tristan's not that bad of a... He did an okay job on Durant. Well, no one can do a great job, but he is not bad on defense. And teams have to game plan against him. I know the Warriors had to in the finals to always put a body on him. And then Tristan Thompson's also known for being one of the emotional leaders on the team and someone who kind of connects all the guys on the team. And I don't know, but he has some sort of value off the court too that may not be worth trading.
It's fair. So I think the Cavs, regardless, they'll be a top two team in the East. Maybe get a fourth time against the Warriors. Probably fair pretty much the same way, I'd say, next year. But injuries happen, other stuff happens, you never know. So if you're that good and you just can make the finals with LeBron, and maybe LeBron has this other level that has never been seen before, but I don't.
Yeah, Rich,
it's gonna grow a 30-point triple-double in the finals.
I just don't know.
40-point triple-double in the finals?
He might grow an extra 2 inches. A 6'10 LeBron. I don't know.
That would be something.
Didn't he almost average a 40-point triple-double in the 2015 finals?
He had to. He had to try.
Yeah. He had to be close.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's not depressing, but it kind of is for Cleveland, just because they had almost a historic team this last season, and
tell me about it.
and they weren't able to do anything even relatively close to the Warriors. So
it's frustrating in the offseason because you have players on the Cavs talking to Jimmy Butler saying, "Don't come here," and it's like, well, what are you gonna do, LeBron? Are you gonna go to the Lakers? Like.
That's an excellent segue. Do we think that LeBron is gone after this next upcoming season in Cleveland? Because he probably has a player option, and so he can get his way out of town. And there's been a lot of talk about him heading to LA, whether it's the Lakers or the Clippers. So do you guys see that happening?
I don't know. It's hard to say, because I honestly believe the reason that he gives – or like – he takes these 2-year deals is so that he can put pressure on the organization so that they can keep building around him. And if they're not going to be able to keep building around him, then why wouldn't he leave? Especially if he wants to win another championship.
Mm-hmm.
I think LeBron wants to be a movie star. And all right, hear me out. He is a businessman. He has talked about numerous occasions that he is trying to build something greater than basketball, and what the Los Angeles is a great place to go, not only just as a basketball decision, but as, you know, a Kevin Durant-esque situation where you're trying to move up as a man or whatever, as a businessman, I guess. But
yeah, it's in that same category of, hey, I'm going from Cleveland to living in LA, and like, just outside of basketball, that's just typically an inherently better place to live. So you can't fault him on that front. And potentially they're just a younger version of what the Cavs could be. And you just have a new set of options in terms of what you could do with that.
He may be planning something, because Dwayne Wade said he orchestrated the whole Miami Heat thing. Who knows if LeBron has this
banana boat.
I don't think that, but what if he's, you know, talking to Russell Westbrook? I'm joking when I'm saying that, but he probably knows.
I feel like if he does leave, he has a plan. Obviously, he's not going to just guess and go to the Lakers or something like that. Especially, I mean, they don't have anything. I mean, they have a chance. I mean, right now they have Lonzo and
Brandon Ingram, which the crowd laughs at as not much of a core. Yep, Luol Deng.
Great. Ooh, wow. Hey.
And then
he's gonna cover.
They will have the cap space to bring in potentially Paul George, LeBron. Is that
enough?
No.
I mean, do you think Lonzo, LeBron, and Paul George could beat the Warriors right now?
No. But
do you think they would be able to in 2 years?
I mean, there's something to be said about just a fresh start, though, and like, you have this new sense of hope as opposed to the same one for the sixth straight year of just the same guys. I mean, I don't think you're beating them regardless. I think if someone's going to beat them, it's something that we don't know about yet.
Not the Nuggets. I'd say if anyone, probably the Timberwolves.
Timberwolves, Sixers in like 3 years.
Yeah, these are future.
Yeah.
Future things. I don't think anyone's going to beat them the next 2 years. Unless,
I mean, yeah, it's kind of sucks to say that.
Yeah,
when you think about it.
I mean, you're basically planning out 2 more championships for the Warriors, and then after that, maybe we can think about someone
winning
else.
A championship is so hard too. So that's like pretty impressive that we can even talk about that.
But I mean, even if like Durant gets hurt, they still have their core three that they already won a championship with.
Durant gets hurt though, I don't think they win. I think this Cleveland team was better. then...
If they never added Durant, I think the Cavs win. I think they repeat this year, but...
They did add Durant. I think... Yeah, the crate, yeah. I think that if they're all healthy, it's...
There's no contest, really.
It's really Durant you're worried about. I think that's literally the only thing you have to, like... That's the reason why you make any moves. It's just because of him.
I mean, they each, when you think about it, though, each of their roles is so important that any of them being injured would change a lot of things.
But it wouldn't change enough.
Probably not, yeah. Which is crazy.
I feel like maybe there's a chance if Steph or Durant... Or the only person other than Durant would be Steph that I think he gets hurt, maybe they lose. But
it'd be such a different team without Curry because he just pulls the defense.
Who would they? I mean, they'd have to play Patrick McCaw for
Livingston.
And that's Steph and KD pick and roll is not there, which is pretty impossible to guard.
And they didn't even use it until Game 5. They ran it more in Game 5 than they did the rest of the season combined.
They didn't run it,
because they don't have to. And Steve, Steve Kerr would like to never run it.
It's not fun.
Yeah, but Kevin Durant posting up on Kyrie Irving is not fair.
I mean, they used to say the same thing about LeBron and Kyrie when they run their pick and roll. They used to say it was unstoppable. And then all of a sudden you get Curry and Durant. And
the difference is that Cleveland behind them doesn't have Draymond Green, who's maybe one of the best help side defenders ever, which is... Just because his reactions and stuff.
Or a moving pick and Zaza Pachulia.
Okay, you're getting spiteful now. We'll transition over to... I enlisted in you guys 4 historic questions. Because at this point in the NBA season, we already talked about the NBA draft on a different show. Free agency's right around the corner. We'll tackle that some other time. But I think some of these debates are kind of fun. They're... In all honesty, they don't really mean anything ever, but that's the fun of it. So I guess we can start with the one that is just the most talked about in terms of the general public, and that's Michael Jordan versus LeBron James. I think the vast majority of people would still say Michael Jordan, but more and more people as the years go on get LeBron into that category. And I think just over the last year and a half or so, LeBron's really cemented himself as number 2, which vaults him into that separate category. So I think James and I are on the same page in thinking that we still like MJ slightly more. Noah, I think it's pretty close for you, and you might even have LeBron ahead. So state the case for LeBron, even if you don't fully believe it.
That he's... The best?
The greatest basketball player to ever play in the NBA.
Well, I do want to say first, I will still take MJ.
Okay, that's good.
But you have a 6'8 point guard that is easily one of the most physically gifted players ever.
Humans ever.
Well, that's true. Not saying that Michael Jordan wasn't, but the way he uses his skills that he's given to become... the greatest all-around player. I mean, you have to at least give him that over Jordan. He's a much better all-around player than Jordan was. Jordan was a fantastic scorer. Maybe not the best, but one of the best we've ever seen. And just the way LeBron plays. I mean, LeBron shoots a higher percentage. He's a better three-point shooter. Not that I really want to say that shooting a better percentage makes him better or anything like that, but... When you compare their numbers, I don't know. They are very close in advanced stats and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think there's no doubt in anyone's mind that LeBron is a better passer, but when you're looking at the numbers, the assist numbers are actually closer than most people realize in terms of what Michael Jordan was really able to do with 5 assists a game, which is only 2 short of what LeBron has averaged, 7. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't a slouch, and he passed when he needed to, but he could isolate and score easier or better, I guess. So they are different players. That's why LeBron has consistently been talked about next to Magic more than Michael, just because that's more of his mindset. I think the titles thing is something that everyone brings up, and that I don't know how much validity there is to that argument with Michael Jordan being 6 for 6, LeBron being 3 for 7.
Yeah.
It's I think the impressive part is that LeBron has made 7 finals in a row, and that's pretty crazy to think of in general.
I think that, I don't know, I always hate to make excuses for players, but I think LeBron has, I think, what, 2 or 3 solid cases for finals losses that really shouldn't be counted. I mean, what, the 2007 against the Spurs, right?
Yeah, the rest of his team just wasn't good.
He's been underdogs every year except 2.
Yeah. And then, he played against the Warriors the first time when they lost Kyrie and Kevin Love. And then this most recent one, I don't know if I would count it, but yeah, when you pick up Kevin Durant, it's not fair.
Yeah, they're in a different league. And then obviously the 2011 loss against the Mavs was the one
that's like the only blemish on his career, really.
Right, because he's never gotten hurt. He never retired to play baseball for 2 years.
He was never a gambler.
There's nothing wrong with just gambling.
He's addicted.
I still think that there's more to the story in terms of why one of the most competitive basketball players of all time just leaves in the middle of his prime after he's won 3 straight titles to go play minor league baseball.
He was tired of basketball.
If you want to talk conspiracies, you can talk about David Stern making him retire.
There's more than just a baseball decision. There had to be more.
I absolutely agree.
I don't think he was taking the pressure too well.
Did someone just say he killed his dad?
He what?
His dad wanted him to play baseball.
Well, he did. And I think that was the way he like kind of escaped onto that. But I think there was a reason he went to play baseball outside of that, personally. But we're never going to get.
Do you think there's a conspiracy here?
I just can't think of a reason why he.
It sounds
do that.
Like.
I don't think that
it
there.
Really sounds like you're saying there's a conspiracy here.
I just.
Jeff Buell.
I don't know.
Was David Stern the jet fuel of... Never mind.
And then he wins another 3 titles and then retires again, which...
Do you think he could have had 8?
7, at least.
Yeah, I think...
Even he could have won another one after he retired in 98.
It's true. I think Hakeem at least gets one of those.
Yeah, probably.
But still, you're talking about 7 finals...
Who won the 98-99 title? Does anyone know off the top of their head after Michael?
No, I can look it up. You said 98-99.
Yeah, it might have been the Spurs. I don't think the Spurs won.
I wasn't
won
born
one
yet.
Yes, you were.
Joking.
That might have been the Spurs.
You can look it up. But
I think it was their first.
He could have even had another one, but I thought... Maybe it was just your anger out of the moment, but I thought at one point you did say you thought LeBron was better. It was the Spurs. There you go. I know my stuff.
Yeah, occasionally.
So there isn't as much a debate here as I might have thought.
I feel like just the fact that LeBron gets the notice of being compared with Michael is even...
It's incredible.
Yeah, because like before him, who are they comparing? Kobe?
Yeah.
And they were just comparing their games. They weren't comparing, like, they weren't actually comparing Kobe to be the best player ever.
Yeah. Well, he was just the guy with the next chance, and that's what everyone wants.
Remember when people thought that Kobe Bryant was better than LeBron James?
I mean, there was a case for a while because he was older.
There's not a case. People still make the case.
Oh, well, yeah, there is no longer the case.
Well, those are all just... Bitter Lakers fans.
Wow, you guys are excellent at transitions. Our next question. In this group chat that we talk about all this stuff in, we rank top 10 players, and about 9 through 11, there's a very interesting trio that I think we can decipher more through talking, and that is Kobe Bryant, his former teammate Shaquille O'Neal, and Shaquille's, I guess, quote-unquote, former rival, Hakeem Olajuwon. I think that it's difficult with Kobe and the other two because they do play different positions to compare them head-to-head. Shaq was obviously extremely dominant. Hakeem was probably just as dominant, but he did it more. He did have power, but he used more skill. Shaq was almost pure power and crazy. The craziest body that he could still move at all was crazy. And then Kobe had a very extended prime where he was very good for a very long time, and it's a tough decision, I think, to decipher them between 9 through 11.
Well, in the ESPN top 25, or I guess the top 100 that they did 2 years ago or something like that, they had Shaq at 8, Hakeem at 9, and Kobe Bryant at 11. And they had Oscar Robertson above Kobe.
Okay.
Shaq and Hakeem's numbers are very, very similar. Shaq averaged 23.7, Hakeem averaged 21.8. Hakeem averaged 0.2 more rebounds, same amount of assists. The only difference that I see really is the defense in Hakeem. Just
his block numbers were well. He's the career leader in blocks in NBA history.
Well, yeah, he's still only 0.8 above.
It's like a block. That's a almost a full block.
Well, I know. I mean, that's like how much LeBron is averaging over his career, or something like that.
0.8 block.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
So I mean, it's still pretty incredible, but I would say, I don't know. Shaq shot a lot better. He was 58%, and Hakeem was only 51.
Well, Shaq's shots were
donks.
Yeah,
pushing people to the ground.
his pure force is just crazy. And then Hakeem might have had the best big man footwork that we've ever seen.
Dream.
Yeah.
And Kobe also had great footwork.
Yeah.
He's known for footwork.
Yeah. The thinking about it, the Kobe trying to get Kobe in with these two guys is a very hard conversation. I think that, well, so Kobe has 5 titles, Shaq has 4, Hakeem only has the 2. Maybe you say, hey, give him another one because he played against MJ. I guess Shaq did too for a while. Cause
didn't he almost beat him with the Magic?
With him and Penny?
And Penny, yeah.
All right, so we'll take Kobe out of it. Who do you think is better, Shaq or Hakeem?
I would say Shaq. I have to say Shaq. Just because he pushed people out of his way to get what he wanted.
Yeah, I mean,
if you had to choose someone for today's game, I'd probably pick Hakeem just because he could work around foul calls and stuff like that.
I'd still pick Shaq. You could not touch Shaq in today's game. Everything would be called a foul.
If you do, you can touch Shaq, though, because then you put him in the free throw line.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Shaq's a 52%.
I will take that. You foul him every time.
And Hakeem is a 71. You take.
I mean, 1 point of possession isn't bad, but 3 points is a lot.
It is.
That's 3 possessions.
It's so kind of similar to, in a way, Kevin Durant versus LeBron, with LeBron being Shaq and Kevin Durant being Hakeem. It's like one obviously uses a lot more skill, but the other one uses a lot more power and
force,
strength.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say Durant has a lot more skill than LeBron, but I see where you're coming from.
I think Kevin Durant, I don't know. Well, LeBron has a lot of skill, but he plays downhill. Kevin Durant.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Durant's also strong, too.
He is strong for being.
I mean, he doesn't look, he's not LeBron where he's.
He's 240.
Built,
so.
But yeah, he's.
But that also comes with being 7 feet tall.
He's so. Counterpoint. I don't know. I think that. I don't know. Hakeem, I think that defensive ability to deter every shot at the rim better than Shaq has to go for something to stretch out the defense more. I have no idea. This conversation hasn't helped me at all.
If you had to choose one to play in today's game, who would you choose?
Of the three or of the two centers?
Of the two centers.
Hakeem.
Who would you pick to beat the Warriors?
Shaq.
Okay.
But I'd rather have Hakeem.
Why?
If you're building around someone, I think I'd rather build around Hakeem. If I had to pick one player to run my team, it would be Shaq.
Okay.
But if I'm building around someone, it's Hakeem.
Well, you're building around in this era, and let's say you make it to the finals, you're going to end up facing the Warriors. Why not? Why would you pick a Hakeem if...
I mean, it's not like that huge of a difference. Like, I still think Hakeem poses problems, but at the same time, Hakeem doesn't get picked apart in the pick and roll as easily as Shaq, probably.
Probably, right.
Because you can get any shot you want almost against Shaq with with if you're Durant or Curry.
Yeah.
All you have to do is step back.
And you have to play Zaza Pachulia because they don't have a whole lot of
people. Yeah, that's the other side of it. But you let Shaq have 40 and 18.
And hope to beat him.
Yeah. That's the same thing that you kind of dealt with against LeBron in 2015.
Would they really pick him apart in the pick and roll? Like, yes. Who would Shaq... Are you talking about like a Zaza Steph pick and roll?
No. Why would you put...
Are you talking like a KD?
If we're stuck.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, you would actually have to put Zaza in there, but
then that's not that. I don't think that's that true. Bad.
You just yeah. That is a good point. You probably don't. Oh.
It just
if you
depends.
Don't play Zaza, then you get killed.
It just depends on how Steph plays it, really.
I think. Well, you can't put KD on him because that pick and roll would work, but then on the flip side, KD would he'd probably foul out of the game.
That is a good point. I still think I'd take Hakeem in just if in total NBA rankings. I'd put him 9, Shaq 10, and Kobe 11, I guess, but that feels so low for Kobe. I don't know.
It does feel low. Just because Kobe was so good. He was just such a good scorer. He was not a great
teammate.
He wasn't efficient in what he did.
He also took unbelievable degree of difficulty and stuff.
Well, yeah. but I'm saying like
difficult shots.
The reason LeBron shoots better than him is because LeBron doesn't take those shots; he passes out of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, Kobe wasn't a terrible passer.
That is fair.
Let's see.
When you only pass 5 times a game, I mean, it's not that hard. You make some good.
He averaged 4.7 assists, and his best was 6.3.
It's decent.
So it's not terrible. Yeah. I mean, it's what you would expect out of a shooting guard.
And when you have the ball in your hand as much as he did.
Yeah, I mean,
you're basically going to get that many assists. So, what do you...
Especially right, running the triangle.
Rank
too.
The three just all time. Not who you have against the Warriors, but just all time.
All time, I give it Shaq first, then Hakeem, then Kobe.
Okay.
Okay, you go.
I already said mine. I have Hakeem, Shaq, Kobe.
Okay, I will go... Well, I have not watched a whole lot of Hakeem, so this is just based on what I've watched.
Okay.
I would probably go Shaq, Kobe, Hakeem.
I know what we're doing tonight, watching some Hakeem highlights, right?
Yeah. I love you too.
Number 3, we can move to a point guard discussion. I think the top 5 in that position is pretty interesting. I think Magic is undoubtedly 1.
Agreed.
So, mm-hmm. 2 through 5 is really where the conversation starts. You have Curry, you have Stockton, you have Chris Paul, you have Isaiah Thomas.
LeBron.
Kidd, Nash. No, LeBron. Cousy, Walt Frazier, if you want to get into that. But
we're forgetting.
Westbrook.
Oscar.
Yes, an Oscar. Sorry. That's what
I knew we were forgetting someone.
Who, number 2, just from me listing that list, who pops out for you in terms of number 2 point guard?
In terms of true point guard, I would say John Stockton.
Okay.
Just because of his amazing assists.
How about we talk? What if we take out the word true and just say point guard?
What if we say just a player that's small? Like who's
the best small player?
Yeah.
Well, no. that doesn't. Because then you have to throw in like Iverson and take out Magic.
Okay, fine.
That's true.
All right. Yeah, Magic, you got me there.
Okay. Who were...
So, I think the guy... I think there's about 5 or 6 guys that can fit in these spots. Oscar.
Is
Steph.
Is Jerry West a point guard, or is he considered a shooting guard?
James and I were talking about this before we started recording, and we said we don't think he's a point guard. Even though he did average, like, 6 assists, but I don't think so. We'll just count him out. Maybe someone's yelling that watched a lot of Jerry West basketball.
Yeah. Well, who knows?
Mr. Clutch.
But
we'll go.
I know this is a very weighted question. I didn't give it to you in advance, but that's when...
I think outside of Magic, I might still go John Stockton.
Are we talking careers or are we talking who's better?
Yes.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, I feel like that's the same question.
If we're talking about who had a better career, I'd say Oscar had a better career than John Stockton.
With the
Steph. Yeah, let's say best.
Okay. Well, then I think Steph might be two.
That's what I was going to say. I think Steph is number two. I think this 4 or 5 season run has been unprecedented. 2-time MVP.
It's incredible.
Best 3 seasons of all time, right?
Well, as a team, yeah.
As a team, yeah.
I think that's certainly a big part of the equation. I think the other guy for me that I factor in for number two is Oscar. Those are 2-3 for me. I haven't obviously watched a ton of Oscar Robertson basketball, but
has anyone?
Just from what I've read, and
90-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly. So you think Steph is number two?
Yeah, I think
he's revolutionized the game of basketball.
He's the greatest shooter of all time.
The Warriors wouldn't be the Warriors without Steph Curry.
Yep.
And the Cavs the past 2 years wouldn't be the Cavs if it wasn't for Steph Curry.
Klay Thompson's also a great shooter.
You're talking about two of the best shooters on one team.
But I mean, like,
three
on
with Durant.
Klay.
That's true.
Like, if Steph wasn't
Klay might
exist, I think Klay's one of the greatest shooters ever, too.
Well, he already is, though. Like,
well, yeah, I know that.
Do you give Klay the best shooter over Ray Allen?
I think Ray's better.
I think Klay hits more. I don't know. I think Klay's consistent.
Did Ray Allen ever drop 60 in 3 quarters?
Did Klay ever win LeBron a title?
Klay didn't have to.
Wouldn't say that Ray Allen.
If he doesn't hit that shot, though, he doesn't win the title.
If Ray Allen wasn't on the floor, they could have had a better defender.
Yeah.
There's counterpoints to everything.
And you needed LeBron to do really well in Game 7. If he doesn't do that, who knows? He might lose.
And we're also talking about an old Ray Allen.
Well,
so
right.
He can't move his feet at all.
Prime.
Prime Ray Allen.
I mean, Klay could snap his leg next year and he's not the number two shooter of all time, right?
Knock on wood.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know. No.
No. This podcast does not adhere to violence and injuries. So, who's number two for...
Of what?
For you, Noah, who's number two?
I don't know. You guys might have convinced me.
Steph?
I don't want to give it to Steph because I don't feel like... I mean, 4 good seasons...
Unanimous MVP?
LeBron should have been the first. You know.
Okay.
Right. Melo should never have gotten that vote.
Steph should have never had all of the votes in the first place.
I don't want to get into this because I think he should have because his season was...
Yeah, his season was incredible, but you can't say that...
73-9, 30 points, ridiculous percentages.
I know a way to solve this. Let's have 2 awards, best player of that year, and then most valuable season.
I don't like this because then you're just making it easy and like that's
it
no
should
fun.
LeBron should be
just give out 10 awards then.
Okay, I mean I wouldn't say it makes it easy because then you'd still have Russ and Harden this year.
It's ambiguous then.
No, it's not.
Most valuable, what does that mean?
Well, everyone
already has like the idea of what the award is. We can't put it into words well, but everyone understands the concept.
That's a problem with you can't put it into words.
You can argue what the award is for, really. I've had an argument with my friend Liam before about what it really meant, because we argued that Steph shouldn't be the unanimous MVP. But everyone knows, like, he should have won MVP, but to say that he is the most valuable player to his team isn't right.
I was fine with the unanimous MVP, because if we're going by... the way it's voted, the greatest season, the greatest player to have, or you know what I'm saying, but yeah, he had a great season and he deserved it. But if you're going on like who's more valuable to their team, like why doesn't LeBron? I mean, it's defined most valuable player, most valuable. Who has the most worth in the NBA? LeBron should have won.
Arguably, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook's team isn't a playoff. Like a bottom 5 team in the
Brooklyn
NBA
Nets.
Him.
They're the Brooklyn Nets without Russell Westbrook.
Does James Harden deserve the MVP over Russell Westbrook this year?
No.
Yes. But
then
I don't...
How can you say that Steph should have been unanimous if you think that Harden should be MVP this year?
I just thought he had the best season.
And Russell Westbrook didn't have a better season than James Harden this
year? I'm not just talking about numbers. I'm talking about basketball. His teammates were giving him rebounds to get him to a round number.
Okay, I have an argument for that.
Okay.
Harden gets those same rebounds. But here's the thing. Here's the caveat. Westbrook, he lines up at the free throw line to get offensive boards. He goes in there. He crashes the offensive boards like no one else.
I know, he's a good rebounder. I'm not arguing.
He gets like three or four effort rebounds. He gets like three or four effort rebounds that give the whole that team their another possession.
Yes.
Harden does not do that.
Okay.
So why factor in the rebounds then?
I am factoring those rebounds. I'm just talking about the ones that his teammate, there's been plenty of videos where his teammates like see him and let him have the rebound, and it gets him to this round number where James Harden was two rebounds short a game. And I bet
there's also plenty of videos that show James Harden not playing defense.
Why do we even talk about
Russell Westbrook's a horrible defender too?
Everyone he's not likes, as bad.
No.
All right, I agree. Westbrook's not.
He's not the greatest defender.
He could be a lot better, obviously.
Well, yeah.
Because his physical tools are.
All right, then crazy. Why is rebounding even a stat? Because most centers, for defensive boards, they get a free rebound every time.
Is not that big of a deal in terms of a stat.
So why don't we even look at it?
They just had.
Because that's what we've always looked at.
Then let's look at Russell Westbrook's.
What about him?
He's making the argument that the rebounds shouldn't be looked at, but when we look at centers, we look at their rebounds, and they get a lot of free rebounds on the defensive end. So why? What's the difference?
You're arguing right now.
I'm arguing that you can't make the argument for the rebounds for James Harden, the fact that he's not averaging 10 rebounds, but Westbrook is because he gets free rebounds. I'm making the argument that most centers get free rebounds. What's the difference? Why is it a big
deal? Taller.
Yeah, but no one's going to get they know the center's going to get it. Usually players tail off.
He has a point. Like, if Russell Westbrook was going to go try and get a rebound over Shaq, why try?
Well, yeah, I mean, there is value in his rebounds because with him getting the ball, it takes away the pass. He can start the fast break on his own. That's what's so valuable about it. I don't think Westbrook had a bad season. I just liked Harden's season better, and I don't have to convince you to.
Who had a better season?
I think James Harden, everything put together, I don't know how to describe the MVP award. I just think that
Their team
he
also
won the
performed
war-
very
better.
Well.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I know the supporting cast thing. I don't want to talk about that because everyone has already talked about that. And I think James Harden put together a top 10 offense of all time.
Wait.
By the numbers, he did.
Like with his team or just individually?
His team.
Okay.
And he was the catalyst of that.
In pace of the time.
I don't know. This is what's so dumb. The award should have been named 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right.
True. I'm excited.
Right after.
It's Monday, right?
It is. You're right. Yeah. Final. But who cares? Like
at this point, really.
Westbrook's gonna win it. I know it. And I'm not mad about that. He had a great season. But wow, that was...
What were we talking about?
We were talking about point guards. So three then, Oscar. Is that agreed upon? I think Westbrook will enter into this conversation maybe a couple years.
I think
which is interesting.
He maybe should be considered already.
Okay, keep going.
I think he's the most athletic point guard we've never seen, besides like Derrick Rose
for a few years. Yeah. Yeah.
But does that make him a top five automatically just because of his
especially
athleticism?
Through, what is he through?
He's kind of changing, though. I mean, him and Derrick Rose are kind of, it's like a new...
I mean, like, Gerald Green's not a top five shooting guard all time because he's athletic.
Yeah, but nowadays, you don't see any John Stocktons.
Yeah, they are changing it, but...
So,
let's just...
If Steph's
naturally,
hit,
the best players are going to make the game evolve.
Okay.
And I think, but Steph.
I think
you
Rose
think Westbrook's
I think
impact
more.
is even close to Steph's in terms of changing basketball.
I think you don't see any unathletic point guards anymore. I think they're all.
That's also partially because of Steph Curry, though, right? Because they can't guard.
I don't think they're changing. I don't think they're getting faster because of Steph Curry. I think they are realizing the potential of like fast breaks.
It's not just the evolution of athletes.
You think so? 20 years from now, people are going to be.
They'll be faster, stronger, bigger.
Have you ever watched like any sort of video from the years that the Celtics won 11 titles?
I have never.
Sam Jones could not dribble with his left hand. He could barely run. I don't know. I mean, obviously they were better than the team they were playing, but I mean, Sam Jones couldn't dribble. Bill Russell, I'm sure, he looked incredible at the time. He's probably, if he played in today's game, he'd still probably be really good. I don't think he's 11 titles.
No, no one is.
No, exactly. And the same with Wilt Chamberlain. Like, nobody considers him the best player all time, even though he scored 100 points and averaged 50 points in a few seasons and averaged 25 rebounds. Mm-hmm. Nobody considers him the best player of all time, even though he was arguably the most dominant just because of when he played.
Factoring these things is just a thought process, and like in the end it really doesn't matter. Like, you have to factor in the stats, but not too much. You have to factor in when they played. You have to factor in what they're doing to the game and all this fun stuff.
Then you have to choose which one do you value more.
Exactly, and so we probably all value different things more, which is what makes all this
not fun,
entertaining. The other guys that I think are my top five are Isaiah Thomas and Chris Paul.
Chris Paul.
I think the Chris Paul John Stockton debate is pretty interesting, actually. But for me, that's
Chris
my top
Paul,
five.
Chris Paul is more like John Stockton than any other player in the NBA right now, probably.
Yeah.
Except his son.
Except who?
Where's John Stockton's son?
I think he got drafted by the Kings or something and then fell out. Who knows? Probably
maybe,
playing.
Maybe Chris Paul's son will get drafted by the Kings in 15
fall
years.
Fall out somewhere.
But for me, those are the other two guys that factor in there. Do you think Westbrook has a case
for
the top five right now?
No, I don't.
I think
in a year or two.
Yeah, it's certainly possible.
I think eventually, yeah.
But yeah, that's...
He's more of a force than anyone, or besides Steph. He's, you know, he puts up numbers.
Yeah.
But like, also the thing is, do you think Oscar Robertson wasn't handed free rebounds?
I don't know. I didn't really look into that.
He also played a lot more, like 10 more minutes. And
yeah, that, the pace back then was insane.
Mm-hmm.
And they got up like 140 shots a game or something.
That's true. Yeah.
So Westbrook, he had more chances. Yeah, Westbrook's completely made the triple-double like diluted. Like 3 years ago, I'd get a notification on my phone every time there's a triple-double.
Now it's just like, whoa, another one.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's something. It's just, it's something that the general fan likes a lot just because it's round numbers, and that's just
even with LeBron likes. Like averaging a triple double.
LeBron had an all time season this year. It's just four players had all time seasons.
No, I'm saying like that was like the value of the triple double's gone down. Like it's not that exciting. But I mean, if LeBron averaged a triple double last year in the finals,
it would have been more
impressive.
Yeah, more talked about. Yeah, it's very.
Or
true.
I mean, I guess the year before that, because the 3-1 comeback would have probably got talked about more.
But he has a good point. Like, even this year when they said LeBron averaged a triple-double in the finals, it was just like, hey, congrats, you're the first player to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats to the Warriors.
Yeah. It.
There's always something, I feel like there's always something about LeBron that gets overlooked.
There is, yeah. I
always.
Mean, in a way, he's somewhat still underrated. In air
I wouldn't
quotes.
Say he's underrated. I'd say he's underappreciated.
Sure. A lot of people are gonna be like, "Oh, I wish I had appreciated him more." Like us three specifically grew up in the LeBron era, so
and the end of the Kobe era too.
And so he's playing a very important part in our basketball viewing and everything. So I don't think his value can be spoken to enough,
especially off the court. Is off the court.
It's incredible. He has like no blemishes. He's never gotten like a DWI even. He's never gotten hurt except for the 2 weeks where he went to Miami during his first year in Cleveland.
Yeah, when he had back problems.
Yeah.
Wasn't a gambler.
Yeah, you don't hear anything about his family.
Yeah, David Stern never made him leave. I mean, his wife didn't tweet out that it was rigged for money or ratings. I don't know which, you know.
All the conversation is about LeBron, and that's something to be said about
He is a philanthropist.
That's a good way to put it. Well, we're about 49 minutes in, so I think we'll hold the next question for the next time we do this. And it was a lot of fun. Thanks to our audience. You guys were great, as always. Thank you, James. Thank you, friend James. Thank you, friend Noah, for joining
the show. It's been a pleasure, sir.
It was fun.
It was. It was fun. And we'll hope to get you guys on another time. And thanks, everyone, for listening.